Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Geekscapists, welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, your host. And if this is your first Geekscape, well, welcome. We're going to be talking pop culture on this episode. There's going to be a lot of Stranger Things talk. I got to warn you right now that we're going to hold the Stranger Things talk, the spoilerific stuff. The general stuff we'll get to right off the bat with my guest, Caitlin, who y'all have met before. She's amazing. So this is how it's going to go, okay? This is Geekscape. We talk movies, video games, and comic books. Check. We're going to be talking a lot of pop culture this next hour. Check. That's the way we do it. So for this hour, we're going to be talking about Stranger Things season four. You want to call it 4.5, these last two episodes that were like a 2 hours plus each that hit. That we all watched this past weekend. We're going to be talking that. We'll save the spoilers for the end. And then I also want to tell you all about a movie that I watched over the weekend that I think is the best thing I've seen all year. And on top of that, let's do some series catch up. I didn't really talk about The Umbrella Academy Season 3, which I really enjoyed. And then this new one called The Terminalist that's got Chris Pratt and some other like Chris Pratt periphery actors in it. That hit Amazon over the weekend. It kind of snuck up on us, but if you're into like Tom Clancy espionage sort of conspiracy theory, governmental stuff, then I think the Terminalist is a really cool series. So what do you say we strap ourselves in and let's get some Geekscape going. All right, Geekscapists, let's start talking some pop culture. We've got my good friend Caitlin Cornell on the show. And, you know, Caitlin's somebody who I first met because I needed an additional panelist for LA Comic Con to do a fantasy panel about the rise in Dungeons & Dragons and fantasy storytelling and all that post-Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter kind of stuff. And she was great on the panel. You know what wasn't great on the panel? Jonathan's recording from the board capabilities because that panel is lost to time. It sounds like because I was walking the panel and had no way to test my audio when I started recording the panel. And Matt Kelly wasn't there. To not his fault. We're going to blame Shane, who was driving Matt Kelly to the convention center and got him there late. But there was no way to test the recording, so we did not get Caitlin or the panel recorded properly. It really sounded like noise, and I did my best, but oof, it was DOA. That being said, Caitlin can also be heard every month right here on the Geekscape Book Club, where they'll talk about all sorts of comics that you should need. These are collected ones. These are like trade paperbacks, graphic novels, whatever you want to tell them, but whatever you want to call them. But these are storylines that are collected, and what they'll do is they'll announce the book of the week, and then they'll discuss them. The book of the month, and they'll discuss them. So there's Matt Kelly pleading his case right there. He says, "It's correction. It was the middle of LA. The doors were at 9, and 8:45 seemed like a good time to park." Matt, this is not on you. I do not blame you. You were a hostage in the situation getting to LA Comic Con. Matt has some late breaking announcement right here on the podcast. Kate also has another podcast idea that will be a reality in a post Comic Con world in San Diego, post San Diego. So stay tuned for that. We're going to announce Caitlin's awesome new podcast on the network. Maybe not here. I don't know how far advanced it is. Matt doesn't tell me anything, nor should he, because I like surprises. And what do I just pay the bill. Like, Matt does whatever he wants with the network. He just creates shows, and I just make sure that the lights stay on. And now my light stays on. So there's that. Speaking of San Diego Comic-Con, Caitlin will be there. Matt will be there. Katie will be there. Derek will be there. Heidi will be there. We'll be at booth 3919 all week. And I got added to a panel. I was nice enough to be invited to moderate a panel with two writers talking about adapting the most recent Lost in Space show for Netflix. These are feature guys, so going into television and making a show for Netflix, especially something as like high profile as like a Lost in Space revamp. I don't know if y'all watched it. It was actually pretty great. I really enjoyed it. But Matt Sazama and Burke Sharpless are the co-writing team, and they invited me to be their moderator for the panel. So I'll be doing that on Friday, and I think they'll be showing up at the booth beforehand, along with Geekscape mainstays like Meg Oran, etc. Sometimes you see them on the network, but you'll be able to meet them in person there at the Geekscape booth 3919. That doesn't mean that you need to be in San Diego. If you just subscribe to this feed that you're listening to my voice on right now, you're going to get a lot of the San Diego Comic-Con content. We're going to do a daily show after the booth, after the floor closes every day, where we're going to do a wrap up where maybe people like Caitlin or Derek or Matt tell us about what they experienced that day. And we do a daily update right here on this feed about San Diego Comic-Con. So it's like we're putting you in the backpack and bringing you with us. And not only that, you get 6 days of Comic-Con goodness, not just the five that everybody who's there gets. We get there on Tuesday. We set up the booths. We're going to spoil a bunch of stuff that we've seen that like is probably still under blankets and stuff not being revealed. So maybe if there's some cool stuff, you probably should be subscribing to the Geekscape socials so you can see lots of cool images and hear lots of cool stories. So be on it. We are live on Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube. And of course, thank you for subscribing to this podcast. Let's bring Caitlin in here. Let's start talking some pop culture. How's that?
Hi.
Hey kid, how are you? You were running late, so I don't want to blame you for my intro. I should be a
That's
professional.
Fine. That's fine.
But I was like, how do I host a show? And so my intro was a little jumbled, but let's be honest. It's always a little bit jumbled. Jonathan doesn't always have it together. He rarely does, actually. What was going on? Did you pop a tire or something?
Yeah, I was helping out. Sorry, Geekscapers. I was helping out a friend.
We are escapists.
Escapist.
Yeah, that's kind of the gist of it, is that we're all escapists.
Sorry, I got it. If I'm going to host a podcast on this network, I should learn how to say all the jargon.
It's okay. You know what? If I want more women to be on the network, I should probably not mansplain to them too. So
that's fine. I'll just woman-splain right back.
That is welcome. Thank you. So what happened? You were helping a friend out?
I was helping a friend out, and then he was on the west side, so I got caught in traffic on the way back, which people who don't live in LA, I'm very proud of you for not being in this traffic, but people who do live in LA understand.
Caitlin, it's like, how good a friend is this that you would go all the way to the west side?
Apparently a very good friend. Especially with the gas prices as they were. I mean, feel honored.
I don't go anywhere on the other side of the freeway. Any freeway.
I'm learning my lesson because
this is what I do. I walk to 7-Eleven. I come home and I act angry at home.
Great.
Okay. Santa
you don't
Monica
act angry at the 7-Eleven? That's like the only place to act angry.
No, I went to Santa Monica to see a friend's film that was playing at the Lemley over there. And when I was on my way back, Heidi called me like two or three times to say, hey, how are you not home yet? I said, sweetie, I'm not back to the freeway yet.
How's Heidi doing, by the way?
She's doing good. Heidi Geekscapist caught the COVID. She's been working with kids. She's a teacher, so she works with younger people, and younger people are walking Petri dishes. So Heidi came home and she wasn't feeling
too well. Newsflash, so are older people.
Yeah, thank goodness for science, and I'm glad I got vaccinated, and Heidi got vaccinated. But we knew sooner or later we were going to get it, and she was working with these younger kids and doing the teacher thing, and she came home and wasn't feeling too good, and I was taking care of her. I was trying to socially distance. I was staying in the living room, and she was quarantined in the bedroom, but you know what? Sooner or later, it was just going to happen. So I'm on like a 3-day delay from Heidi's illness, and I think I'm out of the woods now. I think if I test tomorrow, I'm going to be totally in the clear.
Hooray!
That being said, like, I don't really hang out with anybody. So people are like, oh man, that's really a bummer. No, I've just been home writing and doing Geekscape stuff. And I got to watch Umbrella Academy season 3, which I really loved. I don't know. Yeah, that's a show you watch, right?
I like Umbrella Academy, and especially it's been getting a lot of really good press because of Elliot Page. And they have a really, really good cast in it, and they refocused the character to align with the actor. So that was really cool. I'm really glad they did that. And that's why it's getting a lot of good news right now, and it's getting putting a lot out into that community. So I love that.
I think the show is better than, I mean, no offense, Gerard, who was nice enough to do an interview at the Geekscape booth at Comic-Con years ago. And I like him, and Gabriel Ba, I think.
Yeah.
He and his brother did a book called Day Tripper, which I think is one of the great graphic novels.
I do love Day Tripper.
It's phenomenal. And I think if y'all are doing non-superhero stuff, maybe it's a future Geekscape book club entry. But hey, that's your show.
There's a lot of content to be had in the non-superhero DC Marvel scape. There's a lot of independence that we need to hit.
I think Day Tripper is a great one. If Geekscape is you're looking for something that's not tights and superheroes to do, I think Day Tripper is phenomenal. It's an emotional wallop, so be ready for that. That being said, they did this comic Umbrella Academy together, and I enjoyed Umbrella Academy, but the show is able to put more space into some of the bizarre, crazy ideas in Umbrella Academy. And I love the first two seasons, but this third season where they run afoul of like an alternate universe version of the Academy, but that's the Sparrow Academy. I loved it.
Yeah.
This was my favorite season. It has some real mind-bending ideas, and going into what I think might be the final season, season 4. Wow. Who knows what the hell is going to happen, but Umbrella Academy is crazy. And I can't believe they get these crazy ideas and are able to convey them so efficiently.
I also feel like with Netflix, it's like you have the camps, and I'm seeing them in the chats. Chat, I see you. I understand you. I feel you. We'll get there.
No, don't ignore the chat. This is a podcast. We do audio. Please ignore the chat.
It's the I feel like most of the fan base is either, yes, I like Stranger Things and Umbrella Academy is okay, or I love Umbrella Academy and Stranger Things is just okay. So I'm really glad that Netflix has like the both of the kind of like supernatural with kids kind of covered on both ends. Like
you're allowed to like both.
Yeah. But I'm noticing there's a trend of like one or the other. That's just like my heart calls to that.
Well, Caitlin, let's talk a little bit of Stranger Things before we get into the spoiler stuff later.
Yeah, absolutely.
But just let's generally just real quickly.
No spoilers.
I think ultimately Geekscapists, I am in the crowd that is the one that loves Umbrella Academy and enjoys the mind warpiness and how much they can pack in an episode.
Right.
I do enjoy Stranger Things, but I found this, I didn't know that the running times were necessary on these last couple episodes from the season 4. I thought some of the moments were drawn out, and I felt there was some melodrama that I was like, hey, you know what? We've explored this. Let's keep clipping. Y'all have a ticking clock here. And the ticking clock felt like it was ignored a lot of times when people had to have their moments. And you know what? We got to stop this Vecna guy. He's the worst, and we got to stop him.
He's not as bad as the basketball coach guy, the head of the basketball team. I love there's like a meme that's going around of just like, I can't believe I don't like Vecna as much as I hate the basketball guy. And I haven't felt more seen.
Caitlin, in your enthusiasm, you're tapping something on your desk.
Sorry, I will not
coming through your
tap.
Microphone. It's okay. It's okay. Do what I do and smack. I just
smack my head.
No, don't do that. You got more to lose than I do. I just smack my head. And my brain gets a little mushy. The Stranger Things. It's so impressive. I think that this stuff is. I've said it before on the show how much I love Nightmare on Elm Street. That was my horror franchise. And this is Nightmare on Elm Street. And it does it in such a great way.
Reversed.
And I can complain all I want about the runtime. But ultimately, as I said, I think last week or the week before, I'm complaining about cotton candy. Like, you got to enjoy your Stranger Things. even if like you're like, oh, that plan makes no sense. Why didn't they just do this? And stuff we'll get to later in the episode.
Right.
But at the end of the day, Jonathan, you would have fucking loved this show in high school. You would have loved this show in college. You better be fucking loving this show now.
I love this show now. I'm in the camp of Stranger Things. I'm making a pair of shoes, and that's one of my cosplays this year for Comic-Con is Stranger Things.
Incredible.
I know.
Incredible. And I mean, let's call it right now, since we're both going to be in San Diego Comic-Con, what is the average number of people in Hellfire Club t-shirts we're going to see past the booth?
All of them.
In a day. Are we going to get 20, 30, 40 Hellfire Club t-shirts?
It's going to easily be like 50 and up. Like, those shirts are already selling out, and I definitely have one on the way to my house.
Listen, don't game the vote by just showing up all day in your Hellfire Club t-shirt. That's cheating. These have to be independent. No, you can wear it. But you know what? If you wear it more than once, we're going to know you're stinky, because I don't know where you're doing laundry down in San Diego Comic-Con. You're dipping it in the bay and washing it. I know what you're doing.
I know.
Derek Cranavelt's in the chat. He says, I'm going to buy 50 myself.
Yeah. Maybe,
Caitlin, you can help me this year in helping me keep Derek from buying superfluous things that are only going to make him complain about how expensive Comic-Con is, even though he buys things that are really, really overblown and expensive, and then he doesn't know how to ship them home. In Canada, the dude's got an addiction.
I mean,
so
FedEx exists everywhere.
That being said, these Hellfire Club t-shirts that are going to be everywhere at Comic-Con, will they beat the amount of Jokers we saw during the Dark Knight summer?
Oh God.
Everybody
the
was
Heath summer? Ledger
Joker. Oh, it was Comic-Con was a thing. There were a lot of Jokers.
Joker season, not season, bleh. Joker
no, it's
2,
a reality we
the
live in.
Sequel is happening. No. It is a thing. No. It will happen.
I was hoping you got to stop this, Caitlin. Find you have contacts. You got to find a way. Go to the Upside Down and you got to find a way.
I don't have that much power.
That movie is my
if Vecna. I did have that much power, Vecna would be behind me right now. That's where my power would lie.
I don't want, no. You know, I'm sure they're nice people. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're all nice people involved. I'm sure Todd Phillips, I'm sure a nice guy. The first Joker, Ian Kerner got mad at me. I never saw it because I was like, this is where you tear it. This is it. This is it for me. I don't need it. Oh, look, I think your show just got announced.
Here.
You know, well, yeah, you're right. I think they just announced your show on the Geekscape Network. That's the siren for the show. Chris Falios, who's the host of the One Hit Thunder podcast, says,
"Oh yeah, One Hit Thunder.
Joker was better than the Batman." Oh, good. I will actively avoid both of them.
I'm curious about that opinion, Christopher, because I do not share that opinion. But they were almost the same length. So you know, which was still shorter than Stranger Things.
I watched that Batman thing and I was like, okay, this is your Batman.
Yeah.
I've said it on the show. I'm looking forward to the sequel and I want the brighter Batman that it looks like he's headed towards. That being said, I'm not averse to 3-hour epics. I got to tell you this right now, Caitlin, because I freaking texted you this in my excitement. Okay. So it's 4th of July. I'm not feeling the most patriotic because country is
perfect
doing some
time
weird
to go
things.
To the Upside Down, bro.
Oh my goodness. I'd rather be in the Upside Down than in this country sometimes. But I'm not going to get all Marxist, socialist, weirdest, anti-America guy because I love my country and that's what makes me so sad. I was looking for something that was kind of like innocent and dumb, but also American style spectacular to watch yesterday on the Netflix. And Heidi and I were just looking for something to watch while we vegged out and we found it. This is a movie that when it was in theaters in March, a lot of people were telling me about it. They were like, you got to see this Indian movie. It's a Tollywood movie. This RRR movie. Let me just tell you right now, Caitlin, this is the best movie. This is the best anything that I have seen.
That's also the best
this
poster.
Year. This movie is psycho. This is a movie that is... I'm going to go to the Wikipedia. This is a Telugu language epic. This is an Indian film, but it is big like a Bollywood, Tollywood film. This is explosions and dance sequences and over-the-top theatrics, but It is also a movie about friendship and loyalty to one's cause and secrets. It's got twists and turns. It's got so much plot and story happening in this thing.
Right.
And it is told hitting every single genre you got, including musical, that you had just have to be blown away. I put this thing on and Heidi thought I was putting on it as a joke. Like, oh, this is cute. Like, you're going to watch something that's a little bit weird and silly. And the second her eyes hit the screen, she did not. She saw every frame of this movie and our jaws just kept dropping further and further. It has everything from like a romantic story and a big dance sequence and some intimate moments and some really longing glances. And it's got a dude flying through an explosion and punching a fucking tiger. Like, there is some crazy shit in this movie. This movie is off
Stranger
the walls.
Stranger Things does not have that. There's no tiger punching in Stranger Things.
Caitlin, I had heard about this movie in March and how I had to go. And my biggest failing of this year was not seeing this thing in theaters when it was in theaters, because this is the best theatrical movie. This is Michael Bay meets Zack Snyder meets...
Bollywood?
Moulin Rouge, like, times a thousand. This movie is incredible.
I think also all of those directors are back in theaters right now.
Yeah, I got to tell you, this Triple R, if you got this on the Netflix Geekscapist, find the biggest TV you can with the best sound system you can and watch this thing. It is subtitled. I believe it's in Hindi. You're just going to watch the thing and fall in love with it because it's so impressive. This is India's Avengers movie. It's the highest grossing film in India.
Wow.
It's incredible. And everything. And I just kept waiting for people to be like, oh, it's overblown. People really enjoyed it. But they were giving it points because it was different. They're giving it points because it's a new culture. They're giving it points because it's not the same old Hollywood stuff. Mm-hmm. No, they're giving it points because it's fucking awesome. And this movie blew my socks off. And I cannot wait to watch it again. I want to run a theater and I want to invite all my friends to watch it.
I'll go.
You're on that list, Caitlin.
Yay!
I just want to cheer for this film with a theater full of people. I just want to have so much fun watching this. People will be ripping the seats out cheering for this. It's got music. It's got everything. This movie, I don't know what this movie doesn't have.
Right.
It really is amazing. I know. I think I'm overselling
it. It doesn't have a bad review.
I don't know anybody who's seen this movie and wasn't completely blown away by just the spectacular nature of it. It's incredible. I couldn't believe Heidi watched the whole thing. And then as I was 20 minutes in, I knew we weren't going to turn it off. It was incredible. La Femme Cinema on Twitch says they sure know how to use that 4K camera on that movie. It's spectacularly well shot. It's awesome. It's got Ray Stevenson in it too, who played the Punisher.
Really?
In one of the Punisher movies. Yeah, he plays a bad guy. It takes place during the British rule of India, during King George. And it is a lot of the movie is about this girl gets kidnapped from a village, basically in rural India, and the village puts together their hero to go with a team to get the girl back. Meanwhile, the crown
sounds like
Delhi,
the plot of Obi-Wan.
Yeah. So, this thing blows Obi-Wan out of the water. No offense, Obi-Wan. This thing blows Obi-Wan out of the water.
Okay,
so,
a lot of things blow it out of the water.
Meanwhile, there's this police recruit who's also Indian, but he has loyalty to the crown. And he is put in charge of finding this person they've been warned about who is going to come and try and kidnap this girl. The person who from the rural village, who you definitely see outrace a wolf and a tiger, comes to Delhi and he wants to find out where this girl is being held in the city and how she's in the palace. And he wants to figure out a way to rescue her. Mm. He has to go undercover. Meanwhile, this cop, it's like Infernal Affairs, has pledged to root out this person. So he goes undercover. While they're undercover, they befriend each other and create a bromance like no other, built on super heroics.
Is it the two people who are in the poster?
Hell yeah. And you're just waiting for these guys to figure out who the other person is, because you know the shit's going to hit the fan when these two brothers realize they're on opposite sides. And that's only the beginning of this movie. When they realize the loyalties have been played against each other, like, that's only the beginning of this movie. This movie has everything.
And
this movie has everything. It's incredible. You're going to love it.
I can't wait.
You're going to love it. I can't wait to show everybody this movie. The other thing I watched, here's why I watched it. Tasha Halevi, who's been on the show before, is Sean Gunn's wife. And Sean is in this new show called The Terminalist. And Sean's been on the show.
Yeah.
So I'm always looking on the Instagram. And I'd never heard of this movie, this show, The Terminalist. I thought it was a movie. It's a brand new Amazon show. And it's got Chris Pratt. And I know people are like, Chris Pratt this, Chris Pratt that. I like Chris Pratt.
He's
I said
great.
Hi to him on the LA River running path. And he's like, what's up, man? And he was super nice. Well, this is Chris Pratt. Like, you think the guy, think what you will about this guy. You haven't seen Chris Pratt like this. Yes, there's a little bit of like Southern good old boy stuff going on where you think you've seen Chris Pratt like that, but he's actually this Navy SEAL. And still you're like, Jonathan, I've seen Chris Pratt act like a Navy SEAL guy. In this one, at the very beginning, he's with this platoon, and this is 8 episodes, mm-hmm. About an hour long. And Sean is in the 3rd or 4th episode. And you see them in I think Iran, and they're in the Middle East, and they come, this whole platoon of SEALs gets like almost wiped out. He's one of the only survivors. And as he's on his way back,
baby.
Like Navy SEALs, these are the badasses.
Damn it.
These badasses are in these underground tunnels. They're getting their asses kicked. Oh, if they were actually playing like
baby SEALs,
SEALs and sea lions,
hilarious.
This might have been better than Triple R.
See,
but
they failed.
They're playing tough guy Navy SEALs.
Okay.
And you're like, okay, he's the lone survivor. Maybe there's a couple of guys who can survive this thing. And then you start thinking, wait, are the other guys who survived in his head? Wait, is this guy a faulty narrator? Is he starting to see things? He gets back and they ask him to get an MRI check and he does it. And he's starting to have these brain issues and he's starting to misremember the mission. And he tells his wife and his kid back in San Diego about it. And he's got his buddy who's in the FBI. And that's Taylor Kitsch, who we haven't seen in a long time, mm-hmm. act. But I love Taylor Kitsch. And they're on a boat. And he's like, hey, man, that whole mission went tits up. But there's something else going on with this mission. And he starts poking around and kind of asking the wrong questions. Right. In like Tom Clancy style, he kind of starts to uncover a conspiracy and bodies start dropping and he has to make a list of the people who put him and his men in those tunnels. And then we're possibly experimenting on them with medications were affecting their brains. And so I don't want to spoil too much about it because it is like Tom Clancy style mystery. I'm usually not totally into that stuff, but they did it really well. Like Antoine Fuqua directed the pilot. Like he did Training Day. Like he's an incredible director and it does have some really great cast in it. Like I said, Taylor Kitsch, Sean Gunn's in it, Gene Triplehorn. Who's playing this bad guy? Let me think.
I do love that big, you know, action movie directors are directing pilots and starting the, you know,
they look great. And this thing's really well done. Jack Courtney, who is obviously in another James Gunn related project, he's in Suicide Squad, is in it. And Constance Wu, who's great. So this is like a pretty star-studded cast, but the bodies do start hitting the floor pretty quick. And there is a bunch of mystery to it. I would absolutely, like, if you're into like military thrillers, you're going to want to watch The Terminalist. Don't let it get spoiled for you. I only watched it because I saw that Sean was in it and I might see him. We may see him at Comic-Con. Maybe he'll come by the booth and I wanted to talk to him about it. But he plays a scumbag. He plays a complete scumbag. There are a lot of scumbags in this show and Chris Pratt's going to make them pay.
And he's also really good at that role. I mean, I remember watching Sean Gunn first time in like Gilmore Girls and he was not a scumbag, but he was pretty like annoyingly scummy.
You know what? The worst thing
he's
I
like
say
small
about
town,
Sean,
small town scummy, and then like the more and more he, you know, was cast in his brother's projects, and the more and more acting work he got, he kind of like solidified himself.
The worst thing I'll say about Sean is he's a Clippers fan.
Oh
no! That is just that tears it there, Sean. Sean, we've had many conversations about the Clippers, and
but I do have to say that the Clippers game I went to recently had one of the best moments I've ever seen in live sports, which was very weird.
What was that?
I was like 5th row. I got really lucky. I got good seats. Mm-hmm. And then it was the buzzer hit as someone was doing sinking a three-pointer that would have tied the game and gone into overtime, and he made it. And the whole the whole arena went up. So that was pretty cool. Go Clippers for that.
They do have shooters. They got quite a few shooters. Yeah, they got quite a few shooters there on the Clippers, and we'll see.
And my friend wanted to leave, and I was like, "Don't leave."
I don't leave basketball games. I don't care how bad it goes. I've just learned too many times that you'll end up in the parking lot or on the subway, and you'll be kind of checking in the game, and you'll see that things have completely flipped. Like, no, if you guys, 18-0 runs happen in the NBA, and before you know it, your team's right back in it. Okay, so now's the time, Geekscape is. We're halfway through the show. I got to put up the warning now. I think we got to get into this Stranger Things. And Geekscapists, if you want to talk a little bit more Stranger Things, and we're going to be referencing a little bit on the Geekscape.net website, Caitlin actually wrote an article talking about her predictions for these last two episodes that are the super long, like feature length episodes 8 and 9 for season 4.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about her predictions, because some of the predictions did and didn't come true. And then we'll set that up for predictions on Stranger Things season 5. But I'm going to tell you right now, Geekscapist, if you have not seen the last two episodes of season 4.
Turn back now.
That's right. That's right. Go back to the right side up, because you're about to get super spoiled here on Geekscape. Where do you want to start on this one, Caitlin? I'll let you kind of run the show.
Okay, so I'm a huge Stranger Things fan. As a screenwriter, and Stranger Things inspires me very, very much. I love the Duffer Brothers writing, and I really think they hit it out of the park with this season. I think their writing increased in caliber. Oh my God. Sorry. Mm-hmm. okay. And I love the characters, and I loved that when we ended in season 3, Elle had lost her powers. And I think that's a super important place to start it off on, because they separated everybody and they lost their superhero. So they could kind of, when they were younger kids, get away with like, it's okay, Elle will save us. So I actually think it was really important that it went into this, maybe we can't be saved territory and we're definitely on our own, which is a tone that many horror movies, especially horror movies of that time, really take. And it's a place that we haven't really explored since Will Byers was taken. And
wait a minute, Caitlin. I explored the fact that we can't be saved and we are on our own yesterday during Independence Day, just in the United States of America. I mean, if you were celebrating Independence Day yesterday in the U.S., you definitely.
Then you should have
like
been watching Stranger Things, fools.
Yeah,
that it's was like, great.
Wow, they get how I feel.
So for me, like a quick like, I loved that it went into this Freddy Krueger. Horrorscape, and it went to this hard rock horrorscape. I think that Eddie Munson being he kind of encapsulated the parts of the other that hadn't been brought into this universe before. He encapsulated metal music. He encapsulated a harder, a grittier. I don't think we'd really seen drugs in that universe until Eddie Munson, because he was selling them to Chrissy. And it was this
idea. We also saw as much as we were ready to write him off as the. We weren't ready to write him off because, you know, the
never write off Eddie Munson.
But when that scene in the woods with Chrissy in that first episode, the sensitivity he showed to her, God. I was like, oh, no, at least one of these characters is doomed. And this is going to break my damn heart with this stuff. So I can see why everybody fell in love with Eddie and should have fallen in love with Eddie. This character was fantastic.
Very well written and very well performed. And when he revealed in episode 1 that Vecna was his, and it was the same way, the way that, you know, Mike just dropped the Demogorgon in season 1 and he just drops Vecna into the playing space. Vecna in D&D is probably one of the most famous villains in the entire D&D landscape. So that was definitely going to be a huge main player. And I was very, very excited to see Vecna. A lot of people who are into D&D right now, because 5e, the 5th edition, Critical Role and Stranger Things kind of all came out at the same time. And even Matthew Mercer based his main villain in his first campaign off of Vecna. He just had to rename it so that, you know, Wizards of the Coast didn't get angry with him. So he renamed it the Whispered One. So Vecna has been in this kind of new landscape of D&D, like crouching for a very long time. And I think that casting Englund as Vincent Creel was a huge, major, like, casting choice, not just for the story, but the Duffer brothers kind of hinting like, hey, we're in a horror landscape now. Your characters might not all survive. I don't think they were as successful at the follow through on that because they're saving it all for season five. But I wish they, honestly, I really wish they would have killed more people this season.
I thought going into the last two episodes that I'd heard the Duffer brothers say, hey, the body count's going to be five on the last two episodes. And I counted two major characters, including the bro that we don't want to talk, you know, the main character, villain of the series. Brenner,
Dr. Mm-hmm. Brenner and Papa.
Yes.
Which that was a long time coming and I wasn't sad.
That was not.
And as someone who, like, has been in not a relationship like that, I wouldn't say that, but, like, has been gaslit and, like, you know, kind of, like, she's been used her whole life and she's in a toxic relationship with a father figure who is controlling. And to be like, you know, everything I did for you because I loved you and I just need you to say that you understand me. I think her silence was probably the best answer. And to see the restraint in the writing was really, really beautiful, especially from a male gaze writer. Like, we can't deny that, like, you know, that's a male gaze. So I really appreciated the restraint on some of the writing. And most of the emotional moments don't describe emotions in the Duffer's writing. They describe actions or they describe things. Mm-hmm. And they just let the actors do their own thing. I think that with Papa and the Piggyback, which were the season episode 8 and episode 9, yes, they could have divided it. I mean, they could have, but they chose not to. And I think it was just to keep you in that headspace, knowing that you were probably going to watch the two back to back. And it was to keep you in the prep for the mission and then the mission itself going awry.
That's a good argument for not splitting them into three or four episodes.
Yeah. Which,
you know, I definitely, when things started feeling long and the moments were, I started thinking, hey, why isn't this just four episodes? But obviously, like, I actually think that looking and seeing that there were 13 episodes in a season or 11 episodes in a season might have been more daunting.
Right.
And ultimately, we're binging these things anyway. So what's the difference if there's a gap between two episodes or not? You're going to watch the 2 hours all at once anyway.
And I do just feel do like it. They left stuff out because one of my predictions was about the counselor who was mentioned in the last episode but didn't really have a part to play. And I thought they were going to bring her back. I was convinced after seeing Jamie Campbell-Bauer's performance as both Vecna and One and the Orderly, because I do consider them three characters and I think they do as well. Just the way that he vocalized and his body language in all three of them were very, very different. The way that the counselor talked was very similar to the way he talked to Eleven as an orderly, that he was, mm-hmm. he was very, very kind and trying to, like, you know, I'm just doing this to help you sort of thing. But there were so many clocks around her and all of the victims related to her. So it's like, I was convinced that they were going to, like, bring her back as, like, was it all in their heads? And was Vecna, like, you know, like, doing something? And I was like, maybe they left some stuff out and maybe they did cut some stuff. Or maybe it just wasn't in there and it was an unfinished storyline.
So I think that the mission storylines, and we can split those up into how many pieces you want. That was the storyline for the season, like getting Vecna and the 11 stuff was good. I liked the 11 stuff. I absolutely love the Papa moment at the end of death, the part with the helicopter. I love all that big military stuff.
Yeah.
It's also tied though to one of the parts where I think is weak. I think lost a lot of Mike. We definitely lost Jonathan this season. That stuff started falling by the wayside. It's like they were running around in this pizza van and they even when Eleven goes and like mind jumps herself to mm-hmm. protect Max, I feel like they mainly were there to wring hands and be like, come on, come on, come on. And I would have liked to have seen more active participation in, like, I would have liked to have seen Jonathan and those characters written with a little bit more to do than wring hands and try and find people. But that being said, like, I hope that it wasn't in the service of bringing Steve back as a potential love triangle. And that storyline still had a lot more, to me, a lot more kind of, I think it was more engaging than the Russia stuff. The Russia stuff ultimately is the stuff that for me felt like a lot of build for small rewards, you know, and I didn't quite understand too much the plan to draw the monsters into the courtyard to mm-hmm. flame broil them when flame broiling down a hallway is really, really good.
Yeah.
Choke point those babies. Let's open up the flame broil in the hallway and let's get them coming to you. You know, especially when
we also have
go ahead.
What we also have to understand about this is about the season and about these characters. It's like they kind of know what they're facing, but they've never faced it alone. And having everyone in different groups, like it was kind of nice. Like, I feel like I would have been in the freaking pizza group going like, I don't know what the hell to do. Like,
I'm useless.
I'm useless. And, you know, the only other option for the Duffer brothers to do was for the military, for Sullivan to come and find the van mm-hmm. in front of the, and like start bombarding the pizza joint and having another kind of obstacle. You already had the basketball player as the sure. obstacle on the other end. So it would have been like almost too cluttered if they had done too much with it. And you had to keep like, does Mike actually feel like he's a part of the story? Which, right. feeling like they're separate from the story, I think enhances that emotion that the characters are also feeling.
There's a one take master in the escape in I think episode 6 or 7 where they actually are in it might even be episode 5, but they're in the house.
Oh, when the shootout happens.
That's just an awesome one take master with the camera and there's a lot of stunts in that sequence yeah. with the squibs and everything. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. They're not afraid of doing the oneers and they're not afraid of flashbacking. They're not afraid of like, hey, do you remember this moment? Like, do you remember this? Cause this is going to be the emotional kind of breaking point, especially with the stuff with Max. And that was really cool. I mean,
some balancing stuff is kind of where I thought that, I was like, okay, well, we've hit this nail a lot. Let's mm-hmm. let's explore some of the other nails, but I'm just not going to get it. And yeah. Jonathan, enough. One thing that I can criticize is the Return of the King endings. This isn't even the ending. There's a whole season coming,
yeah.
and they return the king. They return of the king dust. This was longer than Return of the King, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
The endings.
It wasn't. No,
you did the math mathematically.
Return of the Kings is over 3 hours.
I know, but the ending.
The
bad guy's been taken care of. Now we got ending. And you know what? I don't think it would have felt as long.
Like, that was what was amazing about the...
Yeah. He's still out there. But would it have felt as long if they would have just gotten Dustin some effing crutches? That was my biggest mystery. Was why doesn't Dustin have crutches? He clearly has a limp. He's clearly injured. Why does Dustin not have crutches? Discuss.
I didn't even think about that. And
they made that actor perform a limp. And then he tells Eddie's uncle, like, hey, I was there when he died. And he's like, cool.
He didn't say cool. He was sad. He was sad. And I do think that, like, here's the problem.
Where are you at? Point me towards his body. Can I get a little more closure?
Here's the
guitar pick, dog.
Well, here's the thing. It's like when your whole town has been split apart, and I do love that it's like, oh, they split apart at like they were directions, and like how deep Vecna's plan really went was really, really cool. But they by killing off Eddie, you killed off everything that you did kill off the other. Like you did mm-hmm. kill off everything that like no one really understood, and it was kind of okay. And it made it even more heartbreaking, but I don't know if it, you know, I know that there's a criticism flying around that, you know, it didn't, I would argue that killing Eddie actually made it more heartbreaking because he was brave in the end. He didn't run away and he was brave the whole time and no one will know. And he did mm-hmm. represent a lot of things that no one would understand, except for the group of people that are displayed on screen right now. And it kind of is like in this time period that we're living in, it's like how many others are we not looking at because we don't understand them?
It's not even just this time period, Caitlin. I mean, have you seen that documentary Paradise Lost, the Robin Hood Hills murders?
Yes, 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 yes.
That story horrifies me. And those are Metallica fans who were framed and blamed for killing a kid in a creek bed. And it turned out, I mean, so many people added to that story. And this is a real life story, Geekscapists. And you can find not only that documentary by Berlinger and Sanofsky, but you can go on and there are more documentaries. Peter Jackson was involved in it. Eddie Vedder was involved in it and trying to get these kids off death row for a murder they didn't commit. But they were guilty of being metalheads in a small town and were blamed with this kid's disappearance and death. And that putting Eddie in the series and then having all this stuff happen and him being a scapegoat, I think was one of the most engaging parts of the series. And also just everything they did with this kid was note perfect, including his sacrifice. I mean, listen, I love the Master of Puppets sequence when those opening notes start up and you know they're doing Master of Puppets and Batman is way. Is a Master of Puppets. It's so fucking awesome. That being said,
and like, it was badass because they his tattoo on his forearm, which is mostly covered by a leather jacket, bats? But it's the bats on his forearm that kind of foreshadowed his end in a way, which was really Caitlin. Beautiful. And he also mentions it with Ozzy Osbourne with a bat.
Oh, and you're immediately when he says this is music with the Iron Maiden tape. Do you see Iron Maiden retweeted it?
Yes.
It was like, yes. We fucking got you. I love this. That being said,
that was me in Caitlin, high school, by the way. Was
when you and I are in the Upside Down, let's make a plan now because we never know when Vecna's
coming.
We don't know. Let's make the plan now. I'm going to get a giant stereo system.
Okay.
And in the Upside Down, we're going to plug that in. And I ain't fucking playing guitar on no roof. I'm going to plug that shit in and I'm going to get as far away as the motherfucking thing as possible. Yep. Now, what kind of plan was that? You're telling me he didn't have a stereo system. He could have just cranked up and been like, peace, and had the bats go into there and just be like watching from the woods and be like, ha, 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 we tricked those bats.
We're this nowhere is where near the there. Point was, I had a point and I lost it. we have to remember that they are not like, we have like 30 years on them in terms of like pop culture, like watching military shit. And we have, and they are not professional military strategists. Like at all across
sound
the board,
works.
We have
anybody who throws their voice knows how sound works.
We have this is why you're negative Nancy. Speaking of Nancy,
I know. I am.
I'm Steve in this scenario and I'm gunning it. These are kids coming up with a plan to save their town and save their friends. And what I loved about it is that it fails at like stage two.
Yeah.
Because Vecna's like, I read your mind, guys. Like, what are you doing? Like, when are you not?
You're a moron. I'm a hive mind.
Yeah. What he didn't expect was that his mind would be so kind of like fractured, and that the more time he focused on 11, it gave them time to get out. And
you have to weaken him at multiple points. Like, is that why the Demogorgon was important to be attacked in Russia?
Because they're part of the hive mind, because the shadow, they call it the shadow. That's what one found in the Upside Down when he was exploring. So the thing about the Upside Down is that he made it Hawkins.
Sure.
And it was kind of like, it was my kind of like, is it Hawk? Is it, was it him? That was one of my predictions in the article. And it definitely was. And then you saw like the void kind of disappearing into shadow as the kind of mind kind of crumples. So the shadow is what he kind of intakes, controls, and then connects everything. He connects all the creatures, and you know, it's the way for him to kind of like, it's his version of a radio, but you know, the more that.
So I have to play guitar on the roof.
You have to play guitar on the roof.
Yeah. I can't just put a stereo system up there and be like, ha ha, Vecna, fool
you. No, because there's also the physical, like someone is taunting you. It's very Vader in a way. Like Vader doesn't really respond when it's like, you know, ha ha. Like, it's like, okay, I know it's a trick, but when you have someone taunting you, it's like, oh, Obi-Wan, I'm going to get you on that planet. Even though I have an Imperial Star Destroyer and I could probably go two directions.
I could at least launch TIE Fighters. I was kind of like scratching my head at that. They never launched TIE Fighters to be like, hey, can you just take out the engines on that thing? Did you see that was a Conan the Barbarian sword?
Yes.
Lopped the thing's head off.
Oh,
with? I was like, that's a sword from Conan the Barbarian laying on the ground. That's going to come into play.
Yep. I'm into it.
Demogorgon's head.
I
cut
also
right
like,
off.
To go into the article, the way I did the article, Geekscapist, was if you haven't read it, highly recommend it. I'm not biased at all. was I went through all the pop culture references from season one that carried over to season four to try to predict what would happen. So I do think that the prediction of Eleven becoming like getting her a fullness to her powers like Dark Phoenix did. I didn't say she would go full dark, but I think mm-hmm. bringing Max back from the dead is pretty like, you know, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, I expected Max to kind of sadly be the goner of the group. I kind of didn't expect them to go that far as to like save Max, but
yeah.
I mean, I'm glad I did. Nobody wants to see a kid get killed, man. It was painful enough even seeing that annoying kid from the newspaper get killed, and I hated that guy. Nobody liked that kid with glasses, but still seeing him suffer in the middle of the street, get carried up in the air and pulled apart, that was painful. But nobody wants to see it. I mean, you can't be cheering
especially
on that
when
stuff.
The kid is like, I don't want to go. Like,
that was
like,
really
oh my
sad.
God, that was heartbreaking. I do think that her mind, because when she went into Max's mind and there's nothing there, I do think that's where Vecna's hiding.
Explain.
That's the last person, the same way that Eleven piggybacked Max into Vecna.
Careful, you're getting very excited. You're starting to tap that table again. And it's making me eat. Come on. Ow. Sorry, podcast listener.
The same way that Vecna, that Eleven piggybacked Max into Vecna's mind, I think it went the other way around as well. So I think that when they destroyed Vecna's body, he piggybacked into Max's mind as she was dying.
So now she's a bit of a spy going forward?
I don't know if she's going to be a spy, but I think that's definitely... There was a two-day rest period, basically, until the Upside Down was kind of released into the real world, which I'm really glad that's how they ended this season. I feel like that was the only way to end the season. I feel like they totally went full Star Wars on this one with the... Everyone's getting like, we have a plan, but it's going to fail. And, you know, the bad guys are going to win. You even start the season with Never Tell Me the Odds, with Destin saying Never Tell Me the Odds. And when they go back into when Team Adult go back into the Russian prison, I think he says, I have a bad feeling about this.
Mm.
I think Maury says it in the van when they pass the empty guard post.
What's the deal you were telling me about leaving the doors open 4 inches? What is that?
Oh, so it's my favorite little detail. And she did it in the beginning of the season two, or season as well. When we thought that Hopper was dead, they found the speech that Hopper was supposed to say to the kids about like, hey, you know, you need to see each other less and please leave the door open 3 inches so I know that everything's okay. And it ends
3 inches. Okay.
Yeah. So it ends with the speech ends like, so please from your poor old dad, can you keep the door open 3 inches? And then it kind of was a way to tell Elle in flashback, like while he's writing this down, that he'll never say to her, but then he's alive. So he does, how much having her in his life meant to him. And he just wants to protect her and do the best by her. And so you can see in the first episode of season four, whenever she's upset, the door is never closed. The door is always open at a 3-inch gap. And then when they go back to the cabin to clean everything up, she moves her hand to close the door, but leaves it open 3 inches in honor of him. Because that's the last thing he asked of her. And so when he comes back into the room and says, hey, kiddo, she that was her first line to him is 3 inches. I kept the door open 3 inches.
That's
because
nice.
It was like an honor of him.
This is why we got you on here. You watching Stranger Things is like, you're looking over this thing like a text. I'm watching Stranger Things tapping my foot, being like, what is going? When are they? I can't deal with Robin longingly like looking at somebody some more. We get it. Robin, you like her. And then one critique I actually do have, and I'm being silly, but one critique I actually do have is that Robin wasn't given more agency until that very last episode. And she's kind of there to just kind of give like smart ass remarks. And I'm like, no, Robin,
you don't
give
think
her
she had agency
more
in the psychiatry scene. When they went to go see Victor Creel, she's the reason they got into the freaking place because she wasn't controlled. She allowed emotions to take over. Unlike Nancy, she is governed by emotion.
That sequence was a little too Scooby-Doo for me, where they're like, let's trick this guy into thinking. A little too Scooby-Doo. Like, that, you know, next, let's just have them in a trench coat on each other's shoulders, sneaking in like they're adults. Yeah. But that being said, like, come on, Jonathan, you need to stop. Caitlin's on here to be positive and give positive thoughts.
No, it's all good.
And we talked about this, Jonathan. Nobody likes the guy who comes on and just craps on everything, Jonathan. So you need to stop this. You know, you're Vecna, Jonathan. You're the guy who's ripping the skin off of everything and sending the upside down. Let's see. Let me look at some comments. How can I hear John say these things and praise fire punching tigers? It makes no sense. Big Yanks says, the truth is everything has its appropriate tone, Yanks. And sometimes I want a little bit more consistency and payoff to the promise from certain things. And when you have the opening notes of this triple R, which is a masterpiece, and you know it's punching tiger time. By the time they get to the punching tigers, it is all appropriate and satisfying when they get there. Maybe some Stranger Things will have some punching tigers in season 5. What do you think will happen in season 5?
I think Vecna will come back. I don't know I hope it will be in his own body, or he'll remake a body out of the shadow, which would be really great, because I just want Jamie
Campbell. But he's not the big bad.
He is.
The actor's phenomenal. But Vecna's the big bad, yes, not the big smoke thing?
No, because he used the smoke in order to connect to everything in the world. He used the smoke to upgrade himself into the predator he was meant to be, as it were. Okay. He was the one who, with his psionic powers, built the world the way he wanted to.
Okay, so he could probably pull in some more
Cthulhu-type
monsters, and he can create more of these monsters and more of these things and more demigorgons and more of these giant kaijus and things.
And who knows what he can create, because we only know a piece of what he showed Nancy. And it did seem like he showed Nancy, and that was a beautiful scene where he's kind of hovering over Nancy, and it's like, I want you to tell Eleven what I have planned. So he was fully expecting Eleven to come back. I think by showing Nancy what was happening, or what was what the plan was, it was a way of enacting the plan, because the first gate opening was in his house, which means that someone had to die in the house.
Right.
So they had to make, so he kind of inspired them to make the plan. The way they messed with time in the season was really, really great. And it's probably one of the most creative uses of time I've seen in a show like this. Because they didn't have to time travel. They just could flash backwards and then flash forwards. And in a way, they did do, the grandfather clock, I said in my piece, was could have been part of the grandfather paradox. Where it's like, if you kill your own grandfather before your father births you, like, would you exist?
Where have we recently seen that one?
The grandfather clock.
Umbrella Academy, season 3. It's all about the grandfather paradox.
Grandfather paradox. And I think the use of, you know, inspiring someone to do the plan that you set out to do that you already knew would happen, like this weird kind of like paradoxical way of viewing time, I think was really well done in this season. Where do I think this is going to go?
Okay. Where do you think it's going to go? What can we expect in season 5?
So I think that we're going to get a lot more deaths on the offset.
Off the bat, we're going to have a big one in the first episode.
I think we're going to have a really big death. I think we're going, because the Duffer brothers have also said that to account for the kid's age, they're going to set it later. So they're going to try to set it in the late 80s, early 90s. So it's not going to start immediately.
Because they already look like 30.
Because they already look older. So I think we're going to see how far the Upside Down has spread. I think that Papa Wheeler is going to go, because he's useless. I think that Mama Wheeler, who's kind of always been on the kind of edge of, like, I think something's wrong, but I don't know something's wrong and I don't know any better. I think she's going to be a main player next season, as is Holly, because Holly will be the same age as Erica. Erica will age and then she'll kind of age in. I think we're going to have to make room for those people. So I think some people are going to go.
It's not going to be Will, because Will seems to be some kind of conduit to the Upside Down. He has like a force sensitivity type thing going on. It's obviously not going to be Mike. Is it Dustin because he refuses to use crutches?
Probably. He won't be able to run away.
What if it just starts and he just falls over and like hits his head and it has nothing to do with anything. He just dies.
And I think that no matter who they kill, someone's going to be upset and someone's going to be glad. And it's just like, honestly, yeah, I think terrible. There's an argument. There's an argument for everybody. Like, everyone is so.
Are they going to kill Jonathan? I mean, they really kind of negated Jonathan in this season. Like, are they just going to be like, all right, he's done.
But it might be one of those cases where it's like, we forewent him this season because he's going to be a main player next season. It's like a Star Trek kind of like universe.
Sure.
Where it's like, you know, you're going to take a backseat it's like the Avengers. Like the Avengers who were going to disappear in Infinity War were placed in the forefront of the story. And the ones that were going to stay for Endgame kind of took a backseat in the story.
Or it's what I tell myself every day, that a setback is just a setup for a comeback.
Yeah.
And I tell myself that every day, that continues to be a setback.
Here's my unpopular opinion for Stranger Things. I don't know if they will do it, but I definitely think they were hinting at it. I don't know if they will, if they film it and then decide to hold it back, it might be a really beautiful thing to hold back, that you don't have to share your whole story. There's a part of me that was questioning what Dr. Brenner was doing in the lab. And I'm going to have to take it back a second. Come back with me, Geekscapists. So if Henry Creel, who was 12 when he killed his family and was captured by Brenner, and became one, it was 1959. So when you have a bunch of like kids that are kind of gaining these powers and coming off of one, you got two, you got three, and you start to get these other kids, and they're not as powerful as one. They say that. Even though that two, being the closest to one, is probably the most powerful, and then the more they kind of go down the line, it's less strong, as it were. So 10 years down the line, the mother, like, where are they getting these kids? And either they're getting it from blood donation or they're trying to like figure out how to put one's power into other kids. In 1969, about 10 years down the line, Henry Creel would be 22. 1969 is when 11's mother joins the program.
Okay.
And then 11 is born 2 years later. I think 11 might be Henry's daughter. I think they went full Star Wars on this one, which is why he doesn't want to kill her. He wants to save her and he wants her to watch. Brenner punishes one in episode 7, not because he helped her, but because he revealed parentage. He revealed that the mother was alive.
So Vecna's...
The chat just 11's, went dead.
Vecna's 11's brother is what you're suggesting?
Dad.
That's what I meant. Dad. Well, that's all sorts of kinds of fucked up. And clearly we're going to get that Luke, I'm your father scene now. I'm going to be waiting for that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the biggest bomb you could have dropped.
By the time she was born. And I'm not saying that it happened like naturally. I'm saying it happened in a lab unnaturally. So like,
sure.
You know what I mean? Like artificial insemination.
And he wanted to save her because
she's the most powerful and she's the one that kind of aligns with him. I think what they will do.
So she actually is two. So the 11, one plus one is two. Like she is the two.
Yeah.
Because she is an extension of him.
Of him. And it's like, why are they, and it's just my way of going like, why are they so connected? Why are they the two most powerful ones?
Why did he try and help her escape?
Why did he try to help her escape?
Why does he have a protective nature to her?
Yeah. And it's like, is it just, yes, it was to manipulate her to get him to take Soteria out of him. Soteria is the Greek word for the protection god. Is the Greek protection goddess. So it's like, Soteria was meant to protect us from one. But that's why they called it Soteria. Yes, it was all manipulative, but I think there was also a part of him, which is what I think that scene did in 7 and in 9, of just like, there was a time I wanted you with me. And there was a time where it's like, we've both been bullied. We've both been trapped. We've both been taken advantage of because of who we are and what our powers are. Come with me to the dark side. And now in 9, it's, I don't want to kill you. I want you to watch.
Yeah.
I want you to watch your friends die. I want you to watch me win because you didn't want to be here.
And now the only person who can stop me creating this world in my image is you, and you're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to clean this place up, and you're not going to be able to live in it.
And you're not going to win. And it's I don't know if they'll reveal it. I think they'll keep it emotional, which I think would be the right call. Because otherwise, I think like the internet would explode in anger.
You don't think they're literally going to say. You're not, you don't think at any point they're going to say Eleven's Vecna's daughter, you're not going to be like you, I'm your father. You don't think they're going to do that scene?
I hope not, because then everyone's going to be like, oh, it's Empire. And then everyone's going to be like,
well, they're already
dismissive of it, of like,
they're already cribbing so many things. The only thing that they have left to not do is use like a freaking Teddy Ruxpin to talk across dimensions. Like, that's right. The 180s check mark. Big Yanks is saying, Kate is in some lost level of conspiracy theories, and I'm here for it. To which he follows it up with, John's brain broke. And I just got to tell you, Big Yanks, it doesn't take a lot. All right. The whole John brain breaking thing, like, it doesn't take a lot. Yeah. All right, pal. I just want to watch a movie where a dude punches a tiger.
I don't.
That's it.
Yeah. So my prediction for season 5 is I think we're going to get a lot more deaths. It's going to be a world at war with the upside down. I think it's going to be a lot more defensive posture as opposed
to the Mist.
Yeah. I think people there.
Stephen King's The Mist.
Very much so. I think if it does take a turn, it would be a Stephen King type of horror turn, because we've already done the Freddy Krueger and the Mike Myers. So it's like, we're getting into a little bit more like, how does a real small town handle the supernatural? How far does it spread? Will the military realize that it's not Eleven? Maybe the military thinks it is Eleven still and will keep coming after her. So we have to protect Eleven while fixing the upside down. And I think the it's going to be, how does Vecna return? I think he's hiding in Max's mind, which is what he does, and is going to use the shadow to build a new body.
Okay, let's cement those, because I like that, and I think that's a great concrete place to end on.
Hey, Duffers, hire me.
You've got okay. Well. You're blowing up their spot. Why the hell would they hire you? You done shared all their secrets. They're like, thanks a lot. We'll hire you so you can put you in a hole somewhere and nobody can hear from you until our next episodes are out, and then you won't spoil our stuff.
Sorry. I could be totally wrong. They could just be like, hey, we're going to put you in an interrogation room and you're wrong.
Yeah. Well, listen, Kate, all these theories, all these thoughts you got about the Stranger Things, it's why I wanted to add your voice to Geekscape.
Yay!
Not the podcast. Listen, this is my. I can mess up a podcast on my own. All right. You got your own podcast to do.
I do.
And I guess you and Matt are discussing having a designated Kate.
Yeah.
Cornell Crusoe podcast here on the network.
Yeah. So I do want to talk more about it, and it's called The Final Frontier.
Hey, listen, our show's only so long, all right? We're already over an hour. So, like, ain't nobody here in this part of the podcast. You ever heard a podcast over an hour? This ain't Joe Rogan, all right? Joe Rogan, it cannot. Listen, my brain breaks quite a bit, but it's not that busted. We're not going to start saying conspiracy theories, all right? You got to come back.
Yeah.
When you want to talk about this podcast.
I will.
And we're going to have a lot of you at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
You're there with us.
I'm there. I'm there to be there.
So don't you worry. We're going to know about your podcast. You don't got to sell us on it.
Sorry.
The best thing you could have done to sell us on your podcast was whatever you just said for 30 minutes about Stranger Things.
I'm sorry.
You knew characters' names we didn't even care about.
Also,
and you
Paul
knew
Reiser's
their names.
Character name is Owens.
I love Paul Reiser, but only because I made him laugh at the. We were in line for popcorn at the Landmark, and it's gone. It's a theater in LA that's long gone, but I got him laughing. I got him laughing, and I was like, Paul Reiser, even though you tried to smuggle those alien eggs, even though you tried to get those xenomorphs back to Earth, you're okay in my book.
Love me some Paul Reiser.
I like him a lot.
He's a really good, funny straight man.
And if he hadn't laughed, I may still like Paul Reiser. But he laughed, and now I love Paul Reiser. So maybe we'll ask Paul Reiser to be on the show, and you can be on a podcast with him. But listen, there can only be so much goodness in the world, because it's my world, and I'm crooked. The goodness, Geekscapists, you're going to have to wait until Comic-Con to get more Cornellables. That's what we're going to call your knowledge drops, is Cornellables. You can follow Caitlin on social media. She's at Cornellable.
Yep.
And just Google Caitlin Cornell Crusoe. And of course, you'll get more of her here on Geekscape. She's going to have her own designated show. And we'll be getting our opinions and experiences a lot at Comic-Con. Are you there the whole time? What's the story on Comic-Con?
I'm going to be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I work Fantastic. On sets, so I'm trying to get Friday off. But Friday, Love Saturday, it. Sunday is what I'm aiming for.
Fantastic.
And if you want to talk more Stranger Things, that's where I'm at. DM. I will talk about the Upside Down all day. All night.
That's what we love about it. Geekscape, we obviously have more content than what's able to be fit into a podcast. So we do appreciate that you listen to this far with us, and we invite you to listen some more. So please subscribe to the show and share it with your friends. And like you said, like Caitlin said, get in the DMs and keep your conspiracy theories going. We got great places for that over on the Facebook group, Geekscape Forever on Facebook. We also have Instagrams and Twitters and all that social media stuff. So please search for Geekscape. We have 20 plus shows on the network now. So go to your podcatcher.
Soon to be 21 plus.
That's great. I think we're already at 21 plus. Right. I don't have an exact count, so I just say 20 some odd, because Matt is out of control and he's building the Upside Down faster than I can stop him.
Is Matt Vecna?
Matt is our Vecna. Matt, he's always been our Vecna. Yeah, it's okay. He's a cute little lovable Vecna. But Geekscapists, share this with your friends. Leave us a 5-star review. And that's about it. Search for more Geekscape podcasts. We got tons of them, and we love that you've chosen to share it with us.
Keep running up that hill, Geekscapists. Keep running up that hill.
Peace.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.